Hello and welcome to the Nourish Balance Thrive podcast. My name is Christopher Kelly and today I'm joined by former fitness model and author of the new book, The Perfection Myth, Maddie Moon. Hi, Maddie.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I am so good. Thank you for having me on your show. This is awesome.
I forgot to mention that you're also the host of the podcast.
Yes, the Mind Body Musings podcast is my baby, and I've been doing that for about a year now, so it's still relatively new, but I just released my 43rd episode today, so it's been steady. It's been really fun.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I've listened to a couple of episodes, and not as many as I want. I don't know if you suffer from this, but I've got to the point now where I get kind of podcast anxiety. You know, like I look at the list of podcasts, I'm like, well, I absolutely have to listen to that one. And I know I should listen to this one. And I've started listening to some of them at 1.5, you know, the speed increase. And some people that works quite well for, and then others it doesn't work for at all. And you're one of those people that you talk quite quickly. So, but no, I did get through a couple, and they're really, really good. I really enjoyed it. And so tell me, I know you've been asked this question 1,000 times, but all of my listeners won't know this. Tell me, how did you, what was your experience that got you to this point now?
Oh man. Okay. So I'll try to make this not the super long version, which is really hard to do because it's a long journey, but basically we'll start back into like my, you know, a lot of times stuff that happens with your minds towards your body starts when you're really young, anywhere between the ages of 0 and 8. And I think that like my growing up experiences, I mean, I was raised in the most amazing family ever. I had a glorious childhood, but I think there were just certain things that maybe like some of the TV shows I watched were just like our cultural aspects of perfection, beauty, women being skinny, being perfect, being like a certain kind of role. I think those kind of things kind of got into my head very young. And as time went on, I started to figure out ways to take out my lack of control on life with my body. So whenever I couldn't control things in my life, I was just like, well, you know what? One thing I can control is my body and the shape I am, my size, my weight, that's very controllable. So I started to latch onto diets and I became a vegetarian when I was in high school. And then I became a vegan. And then when I went into college, I started getting really obsessed with running and I started this like run 5 miles a day thing. And then that turned into 10 miles a day. And before I knew it, I was just like, all I did was schedule workouts and scheduled my diet plan. And then I discovered bodybuilding. And then this is where the story gets juicier, but I discovered bodybuilding and fitness modeling and realized that as awesome and ethical as vegetarianism is, I probably can't get the body of my dreams eating like that because of X, Y, and Z. You know, I had a list of reasons of why I can't continue that lifestyle. So let's do a complete opposite and go to this. So I threw money at trainers, at products, at supplements, at everything I could, just trying to look for that perfect, beautiful, lean figure that was glamorized in the magazines and shown all around on movies. And then I entered the fitness world and all my friends became fitness models that could give me more dieting tips and competition tips and post-competition tips. And I was looking left and right for the best trainer, the person that can put me on the best diet to make me healthy is what I would call it. And that's what they would call it. They all called it healthy. They all called it fitness. But as time went on, I very soon started to realize that as I was getting leaner and as people were saying, wow, you're so healthy, you're so fit, the more people noticed that I was, quote, fit, the unhealthier I was really becoming. And it was a very big struggle because the rest of the world wasn't saying, Madeline, you're getting really thin. Are you still healthy? The rest of the world was saying, wow, you must be healthy because you are so thin. Mm-hmm. So it was a really big challenge to be able to call myself out on it. But I had a really big wake-up call when certain things started happening to me, such as my metabolism was obviously getting slower. I was not losing any more weight, obviously. I shouldn't have been losing weight, but my digestion was really off, and I started having sensitivities to certain foods because I was eating them so much. Mm-hmm. So I created my own sensitivities from eating chicken 3 times a day for 4 months. And then I also created sensitivities from the foods that I no longer allowed myself to eat. So no matter if I was eating it every single day or if I never ate it, anything I ate pretty much reacted poorly in my stomach. And I started eating like really quickly because food, I hated eating food and like it wasn't fun. And I had 6 meals a day that I had to pack in, and everything around my day like revolved around those meal times. So I couldn't go out with friends. I couldn't go on dates. I couldn't go, like, at the time I lived in Texas, so I couldn't go out in the boat during the summer, first of all, because of my meal times. And second of all, because even when I was at my leanest, I was at my most self-conscious, and I didn't want anyone to see me in that tiny swimsuit, like, because I did not know what they were going to think about me, because I thought I was just so unworthy of attention, of admiration, and of love, and all those things. So I just kept going after this perfect body and staying indoors whenever I could, hiding from social events, hiding from food that wasn't on my plan, and hiding from real lasting relationships. So I was digging myself into the ground, and I was killing myself very slowly and torturing my body. But more than that, I was torturing my mind. I was not being kind to myself, and I was never enough. So trying to wrap this up because I don't want to go on too much.
No, this is good. I wanted to explain what fitness modeling is, actually, because it wasn't entirely clear to me before I really sort of looked into this. It's obvious once you've heard those two words together in context, but can you just describe what fitness modeling is?
So to the outsider's perspective, fitness modeling is really just, it's just someone that's really lean. That's what the rest of the world sees. It's a picture of someone who's really lean, and then they're repping either an athletic company or a supplement, or in my case, it was more of like the competitions and actual fitness bodybuilding. So it's so deceptive, because when you hear the word fitness, like, you're probably thinking of the correct definition, you know, because of the field you're in. It's being like having good biomarkers, being healthy, like actually, and then healthy again is another thing we need to redefine. Mm-hmm. So like healthy means to like have your version of balance, your version of happiness. Like to me, healthy actually means happiness. It's more along those lines today, but of course it is to feed yourself food that you know works well with your body, not food that, you know, is the latest trend to get you the smallest that makes you look fit. Because fit is to be able to get up off your couch and to enjoy what you're going to do after you get up off your couch. Mm-hmm. It's like the combination of both things, having the motivation to get up, having the motivation to feel your personal best, to feel awesome, no matter if it's going on a bike ride or if it's going for a walk to your mailbox. Like, it's not about comparing what feels good to you versus what feels good to the rest of the world. So fitness modeling really means to be super lean and to be weak, to be really serious. Like, this is what my conclusion is fitness modeling is the most misleading activity, because I know there are some people that can do this in a healthy way, maybe, but to get to the level where you're getting people taking pictures of you, they're taking pictures of you because you're selling something that is really hard to get naturally. So you're going to be a great rep for their product or for their supplement.
Oh, I see.
Whoever is looking at that picture is like, wow, I don't have that. I want that. What do I need to buy to get that? Because what that person has is something that is not easily, you cannot get it easily, but it's also not easily maintainable. So you'll have to keep using that product or keep doing that exercise routine, keep buying into the same old stuff, because that modeling like shot or whatever is selling something you don't currently have. And there's a reason you don't have it. It's because it's really freaking hard to get. Or it's unhealthy. And it's like, marketing is so tricky, and I fell into it just like everyone else seems to fall into it, and that's kind of why I've taken this responsibility of spreading this word and helping people understand that what you see in those magazines is not real life. They're getting paid to do that. They're hurting their body to do that. Just because there's like, you know, a pretty fancy cursive word that says healthy on top of this girl that's super lean doesn't mean that it is. It doesn't mean that she's not miserable, that she hasn't been dieting for a year to get to that level of leanness, and that afterwards she's going to have crazy rebounds where her ankle's swole up and she's retaining all the sodium and she's depressed and anxious because of her body shape just completely doing a 180 after that fitness shot is done with. Like, tangent, but... Yeah.
So you followed this distorted model or vision of what some people think health is, and you ran into a whole bunch of your own health complaints. How did you get out of it? What broke the cycle? How did you get out?
That's a really, really great question. I think for me, it was after my second show, because I had one, and then I got into paleo for a little bit, but then I took it to the opposite extreme. I still didn't understand. I still use paleo as a diet to make me look a certain way. It still wasn't like just eat in a way that feels good. It was like paleo. Okay. Can't have this. Can't have this. I had to have these.
Okay.
And so after that, I actually met this person who really believed in me in a way. They wanted to see me succeed in being a coach, because at the time I wanted to be a fitness and diet coach, which is the opposite of what I do today. But at that time I was like, I like diets. I want everyone else to like diets. And so this guy was like, I believe you can do this, but you know, first, if you ever want to make anything out of yourself, if you want people to trust you, you can't just be cute, Madeline. Like, you're cute and you're like happy and perky, but you need to be fit and sexy. And that's not you. And so he pulled me into this mirror to mirror to mirror room. It was like all mirrors, like above you, the ceiling, the sides, the ground. And he was like pointing out all the areas of my body that needed to get lean. And he was like, people aren't going to listen to you if you don't fix this area and this area and this area. And I was just like, yeah, tell me more. Tell me more. What else do I need to change? Like, I was dying to have these rules again and like self sabotage. So after he did that, which was, you know, it's puts shivers down my spine to think about that story and like think of anyone else having to go through that. But after he did that, I signed up for another competition. I got back on the train, and this time it was just even more torture. Just that guy set me off with all those comments, and I ended up like eating, I think, around like 900 calories for about 4 weeks.
And holy cow.
Yeah. Two hour workouts in the morning and then in the afternoon, and you know, just starvation, no relationships, no hormones. Like, well, obviously I had hormones, but they were very imbalanced, and like no period is what I was trying to say. And just like all across the board. And my body was like, enough is enough. Like, I didn't even think that I looked good. I didn't think I was lean. Everyone else said, Madeline, you look great for this show. I was so obsessed with being perfect. I couldn't even realize that my body was up to par with, you know, where it needed to be for this competition. It still was not enough for me. And it was awful. But in that moment, in that night, I remember like the competition was done. I was ungrateful. I was unsatisfied. I was not content. My mom and my sister came out to support me. I was grumpy, tired. I had a photo shoot the next day, and I couldn't eat like any like celebratory meal because I needed to watch out for the shoot. And it was just a wreck. And I was not happy. And I remember just thinking to myself, Madeline, if this moment isn't even enough for you, then you will never find satisfaction. You will never have enough, and you will never be enough. And in that moment, I decided that something needed to change, and it needed to come from within. I needed to find it on my own. And the very first step for me, and I think this is really underestimated, the power of this is really underestimated for a lot of people, but it was starting with something as simple as gratitude and just being grateful that I have a body to live inside of. I've got a home. Like, no matter where I am, I've got this little home to keep me safe. And it's what's inside of it that I wasn't using my soul and my spirit and who I really am to better the world. Instead, I was using my body as a tool for getting people to admire me and feed my ego and make myself feel better because something was lacking. And that was obviously my purpose. And so starting with gratitude and just being like grateful for my body, I'm grateful for my body, I'm grateful for this day and for my body. And just starting with thoughts like that helped a lot. And then a lot of other little things started to come into place that I had to consistently work on.
So where are you now? You've obviously, you're probably not the person you were back then. What's changed?
Oh my goodness.
Everything.
Like everything. But you know what? Like who I am right now would not have been possible without all of those experiences, because that's what I do. You know, like what I do now is explain those experiences and explain what it was like to be on the other side. And if I didn't have that insight, then I wouldn't be able to help other people that are still in that same spot right now. So today I use my body as a vehicle for getting to my computer so that I can Skype with you and talk about this, or going to a meetup group to talk about body image and eating disorders in front of women. And like my body is so freaking awesome because it gets me around to places and it helps me to talk. You know, my voice is now my power, my presence is my power. So being able to use my body is in these kind of ways is amazing. But with that said, I know now, because like in the time between having the competitions and the struggles between now and then, a lot did have to be worked on so that food no longer controlled me, because it came down to how I felt about my body. But as we all know, food is a tool for how we feel about our body. So if I am constantly hating my body, then I'm going to like feed myself in a way that exemplifies that, whether it's binge eating, it's purging, it's not eating at all. For me, it was dieting, and it was having those 6 meals a day, never having any choices or options, counting macros, being very on top of everything, no wiggle room. That was my thing. I you know, dabbled in other disordered eating habits growing up, but my main thing was just, what diet can I latch onto and read about and put information into my brain about? And so my main thing was to separate myself from food controlling me. I knew that I was not controlling my food and that food was controlling me. So I had to really, really work on intuitive eating. And outside of that, just intuitive living. Like, it can't just be intuitive eating and that's it. You also have to start to move your body in a way that feels good, and to sleep in when you need to sleep in, and to go to events and get outside of your apartment, your safe little home. And I had to really challenge myself to make relationships and to sleep in when I needed to, and to find that kind of activity that made me feel good, because the whole, you know, bodybuilding routine, like going to the gym and doing triceps and chest and then back and biceps, that was not serving me anymore, because it forced me to look at every individual body part every day and saying, you know, how can I like use these isolated movements to shape this teeny tiny body part? And instead I'd move over to an activity that made me incorporate my entire body altogether, you know, not surrounded by mirrors, and just feeling intuitive and moving myself in a way that really felt natural and I thrived in. And it wasn't like pinpointing one body part and saying, you need to change. How can I make you change today? Like getting away from the mindset of change, 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 but like feel good right now, feel good in the present, be intuitive.
Right. So I was interested to know like how you help other people and how you assess their goals. So just to give you a little bit of background information, I've been helping people with their own chronic health problems. And I know some of them will be familiar to you. So things like digestive complaints and fatigue and problems with libido. But there's also the, you know, the body weight thing is right up there as one of the top complaints. And I frequently wonder whether the person's goals are healthy or, you know, very well intended. And I've certainly noticed that in myself, that, you know, the difference for me as a bike racer at, say, 146 pounds versus 150 pounds is, you know, who gives a crap about how what that means in the race? But I know that it means that I sleep much better, right? So, you know, I know these goals can be kind of misaligned, the weight thing. So how do you establish that when someone comes to you? Like, how do you figure out whether their goals are really healthy or well-intended?
So there are a lot of different moving parts to this, obviously, as you know, but one of the, like, every single person is different. Everyone's motivations come from a different place. Everyone's experiences are different. We could be at the same event, but we'll see it differently because of our experiences, because of our past. So even if I have two different people and one says, you know, I want to be a fitness model, the other one says, I want to be a fitness model, could be for completely different reasons. For one person, it could be because her relationship with her husband really, really stinks. And like, she's taking it out on her body because that's how she was raised as a kid to control. For the other person, you know, it could be, you know, she just wants admiration because she didn't get that from her parents growing up. So she wants other people to watch her. You know, it's different reasons. So it's figuring out for every individual person what that source is and what that reason is. And then one of the next steps that's most important is, well, first of all, I ask questions just like, why, you know, digging deeper, why and why and why and why. And like, I don't have the answers. They already have the answers. They already know it. So it's helping every client figure out where their motivation comes from, why they are thinking the way they're thinking. And then there's a lot of tiny things along the way, just like creating your own definitions of, for example, what it means to be beautiful, what it means to be healthy. What does health look like to you? Does it mean to be on a diet, to eat a salad every day, like to weigh a certain amount? If so, then maybe that person needs to get rid of the scale. Maybe that person needs to get rid of the food scale. Maybe they need to go to the grocery store and buy a whole bunch of different foods and see what happens when they eat foods not on that diet plan. Like, just taking little baby steps. I mean, all this doesn't happen at once, but those are a lot of the things that I work on with clients. But, you know, there's a big difference. I will say there's a big difference for people who they are ready to change, and there are the people that just talk about change, because you cannot make anyone change their motivation. So the people that come to me, there's some that are like, I'm obsessed with food. Food controls me, but I also still really want to compete in this bodybuilding competition. So like, that person I can't work with, because I only want to create, you know, excellent testimonials and like people that come to me and they say, well, I really do want food to no longer control me, but I really want to win this bodybuilding show more. Like, it's just not going to work. You have to be ready, and you have to be open and committed to loving yourself, because this topic right here, this is a sensitive one. This is a tough one. And it takes that rock bottom moment or that aha moment where you realize, if the rest of my life continues on this path, I will not be living like the life of my dreams. I will not be fulfilling my individual purpose. You need that moment in order to have that breakthrough. Like, you really do. And I had lots of people that I reached out to before my moment where I was just like, oh, I'm sick of counting every single macro, but I cannot stop because I really still want my food scale. I cannot leave it. That's more important to me. As long as that's more important to me, I'm not going to take the necessary steps that are required in order to fulfill my purpose. Maybe it's because the time wasn't right yet, because everything does happen in divine timing. You know, so that's most likely the reason, but you can't rush this kind of process. Like, it takes a lot of courage and timing and intuitive thinking and living in order to get to that place where you're like, healthy is really what matters. Like, no longer am I going to make these stupid sacrifices. I'm no longer going to neglect my husband or neglect dating or neglect my body for the sake of leanness, because I know that the fitness industry is lying to me and that health is actually completely different. Health means to move my body in a way that feels awesome, or to eat in a way that feels great to me and gives me energy, no matter if it's a cupcake or, you know, it's bacon, like a chicken breast, broccoli, or, you know, like a donut. Like, everything has, no food is good or bad. You know, it all has its own purpose. It just depends on like what your body is asking for and what that food, what kind of purpose that food is going to serve for you in that moment.
Mm-hmm. So can you give me an example of the sort of person that would come to you now then, and you know, how they were they before and how were they after? I mean, we're not talking about, you know, you see some of these courses where it's like some sort of, you know, weight loss competition. We say, oh, this is what the person looked like before and this is what they look now or anything like that. So how do these people look before and after doing working? So your course is called Body Freedom. So how do people, what is the transformation they go through?
So when Body Freedom attendees come to me, they are exactly how I was. You know, it's the type of person that's like having terrible sleep because their body is so stressed out and anxious that it just can't go to sleep anymore. Their period is gone. Their metabolism is shot because they've dieted so much. They keep pinging like these fitness experts online, emailing them saying, can you help me? Can you help me? Like, they're still wanting it to find a way to like love their body and also look the way they want. There's nothing wrong with like wanting to change your body in a way that makes you feel better. But there's a problem when it becomes conditional happiness. Like, you're not happy with yourself and with life unless you're on a diet or unless this or that. So people that come to me, they're ready to change. They're ready to finally start focusing on the important things in life. But they need guidance. We all need guidance. That's a fact. Like, I had to have guidance when I started this process. And that's kind of been the change that I want to see in the world. I want people to be able to have this process in an easier way because it does not need to be that hard. I mean, it is hard, but it doesn't have to be as hard as we make it out to be, especially when we're going over online and we're on social media all the time and we're comparing ourselves. There's just tiny things that we do in our day-to-day life that we don't realize really contorts our mindset towards our body. So the ideal client, when they come to me, they're just frustrated with food and exercise, controlling their life, having to go to workouts, having to miss out on social events because they're scared of the food, but they're ready to change. So my course, Body Freedom, it's 4 weeks, and we go through everything. We talk a lot about food, but we do focus a bit on exercise, because the two go hand in hand a lot, and it's about learning how to move your body in a way that feels good. And then a lot of the focus is on rebuilding metabolism, because that is a very important topic, especially if you've been dieting for a long time. Like, for example, I actually just released a podcast a couple weeks ago called How I Got My Period Back by Eating a Sandwich. And one of the things that we go over in the course is how you too can get your period back, because a lot of my clients don't have it. And it's unfortunate and it's rough, but it can come back. But it won't come back if you keep surprising your body with, oh, just kidding, here's a new diet, you know, here's more restriction, here's over obsessing on exercise. So it's about finding that individual balance for you that you actually thrive in. And the program that I do, Body Freedom, it's like, it's only 4 weeks. So I always make sure everyone knows that, you know, the stuff you learn in the 4 weeks is the stuff you need to continue, you know, for 4 months. You got to stick with it and keep doing it. But in the 4 weeks, it's kind of like, it was my program to be able to give everyone the tools they need to create body freedom, to rebuild their metabolism, and to ideally eliminate their food fears. There's a lot of resources in it. I do customized coaching in it as well, actually. It's one-on-one email coaching. So I do give a lot of guidance for, you know, personalized tools for people. But the basic premises for this program is to help people stop fearing foods. Like that podcast that I titled, How I Got My Period Back by Eating a Sandwich. I mean, I can't even imagine how many people read that and were just like, sandwiches? What? Like, that is so scary. She ate a sandwich? Like, when did we become so just obsessed with like what we eat and food that we get scared of sandwiches? Because for me, sandwiches were a food fear. It was really hard for me to even think that I could eat a sandwich ever again and not just wake up the next day and be fat. And to me, being fat meant being unloved or being insecure or feeling not enough because my worth wasn't in the right place. So all these tiny little things come together to help people find their worth in the place that feels best for them, find their passion, be able to wake up every day and to not think first, like, what's on my diet today? What's on my diet plan? Do I have all my meals in their Tupperware? How am I going to get meal four to that event that I have to go to today? Will I have to pack my cooler? Or like, oh no, I have a date in a month. Let me go online and see what meal I can have at the restaurant with this person I'm going on the date with like a month in advance. Oh, because like, you know, that's what I used to do. I'd get so anxious about dates that people would ask me on. I would have to get online and see, if the restaurant had like calorie counters and I could see how much I'd be eating that night, and then schedule my meals for earlier in the day around that meal. And like, then I'd reach out to friends or like fitness competitors and be like, I have a date in a month. Oh my goodness, how am I going to eat leading up to it so it doesn't ruin my chances at looking perfect the next day? Like, those kind of thoughts are trivial, and they may seem like the biggest thoughts in the world or like what your world needs to revolve around, but it's so not true. Like, you can live in a way where food is the last thing you care about. And even if you eat tacos, or if you eat a burger, or if you have margarita, you don't have to go on a diet the very next day. You can have another burger or margarita. And like, finding that food freedom ultimately leads to that happy weight and that place where you're just so happy with life that your weight doesn't determine how you feel about life or how you feel about yourself. But the perk is, once food stops controlling you, you're also much more intuitive with how much you want to eat. And like, you start to naturally eat the right amount for your body, and like, your weight just stays the same. It stays in that happy place because you're just so much more balanced about food. And it's a pretty amazing thing when that happens. It is kind of a miracle when you're so used to thinking that you have to eat a certain way to stay at the same weight, and you can actually like eat however you want and stay at the same weight because your body's going to tell you when to start, when to stop. That's called intuition. So ideally, that's where all my clients end up, and it's pretty beautiful.
Interesting. It's some of what you say is like completely foreign to me. So the whole the fitness industry, it sounds kind of weird because you would think, you know, we're a bunch of pro mountain bikers. You'd think we'd be quite closely connected with the fitness industry, but it's absolutely, the endurance stuff is absolutely nothing to do with this. And I do have a tiny taste of it. When I used to work in Walnut Creek, is quite an affluent part of California, I used to go to the 24-hour fitness there, and it would be that environment full of mirrors, and all the women would be wearing makeup even they were working out and all this kind of stuff. And I would just go in there and like, you know, do some deadlifts, and I'd be looking around me going, wow, this is kind of strange. There's a lot of people staring at each other. So I had some sort of idea, but really this whole world is quite foreign to me. But I do recognize some of the, I mean, it's orthorexia is what it is, this kind of you know, just craving structure and not wanting to creep in any way outside of the boundaries. And I still have those for different reasons. So when I changed my diet, my health improved in all sorts of extraordinary ways that were nothing really to do with weight loss. And it just made me feel so much better. And now I'm kind of addicted to that, right? So it's the same situation. I'm not really planning out meals. In fact, if anything, I plan meals less. But, you know, I'd rather skip, not eat at all, than go to a restaurant that's using industrial seed oils, or, you know, like I'm likely to be glutenized or something like that, which I know is going to make me feel terrible for a week at least, you know? So it's really hard, I think, to try and find that balance, you know, but that's interesting. So is there a way for you to measure success, or do you just like, you know, how do you, I mean, the weight loss people, you know, it's easy for them to say, well, here's this guy and he lost 20 pounds of fat or something, but how do you measure success?
Success is when you're happy, honestly. Okay. Like for my clients, they are unhappy. You know, they just, their happiness is so conditional on finding the perfect diet and getting the perfect weight that they're unhappy because they'll never have the perfect diet or the perfect weight. They're just so controlled by these things. So the moment where you realize like you're there's the physiological side and then there's the mental side. I'll just say that. There's the mental side where it's like, I'm going to go out with my girlfriends and we're going to get drinks and we're going to have fun. And then afterwards you go home, you watch a movie, you cuddle with your dog, you go to sleep. It's the next day. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I just went out with my girlfriends and had two drinks and I didn't have to start a diet today. Like I feel fine. At first it's scary because it's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Am I going to lose control now that like I'm not obsessed with my diet? Am I just going to wake up and be fat all of a sudden? Like, what's going to happen? Like, but then you're like, it's okay. It's okay. Breathe in the moment. Think about the amazing memories you just made last night and how you can't wait to have them again. Mm-hmm. And then think like, what are the consequences like of going out and having fun? Like what are the consequences of not going out and having fun? Like what is the opportunity cost? Mm-hmm. You know, you could have just stayed home last night and not made memories and all your friends go out. But what if you keep doing that for the rest of your life and then you die? It's like, I know it's like super morbid, but at the same time, it helps put things into perspective. Like, if you keep up that same pattern of just not going out and meeting people and having fun and keep obsessing over food and like staying inside because you're so scared of what you might eat or whatever, then like your life is going to be wasted and then you're going to die and it's going to be really sad. And people are just going to know you for that girl that ate super healthy and didn't hang out with anyone because she was so scared of food. And no one wants to be that girl. And you know, we're given this gift of life and our bodies literally turn to dust. Like, we work so hard on making ourselves look perfect and look amazing that we miss out on the opportunity to meet someone who would love our body just the way it is already, create memories with someone that really just cares about that soul inside of that body, doesn't care about that body. You know, we miss out on opportunities to bond with people and have human interactions and to change someone else's life for the better and to make someone else's life amazing, because everyone has that power and potential to influence someone else so much that the whole course of their life changes, because that's how powerful we are as people. But if we keep hiding inside because of food and exercise and missing out on these opportunities, then someone else's life might never be the way they needed it to be. Does that make sense? It's kind of hard to describe, but like, we as people have so much power and influence just by our presence.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So much of what you're saying like really resonates with me, but for none of the reasons that you think it does. You know, like it's not just about it's not about body image at all for me. You know, like I could care less about how I look naked, really. But that's not strictly true, but it's certainly not what motivates me. But the feeling good part definitely does, and I pursue that probably too far, right? So when I was much younger and living in London, then I was absolutely fine with, like, you know, going to a nightclub and getting home at 6 a.m. and the next day just being thoroughly miserable, you know. And it was worth it because I'd had fun and I would do it all again the next weekend. Whereas now, just even the thought of, you know, one glass of alcohol is just completely unacceptable to me. And, you know, and all I think about it are the consequences. And I guess, and you're illustrating here, you get to the point where, you know, the pursuit of excellence is actually, you know, kind of doing you harm. And maybe it would be better to relax a little bit. I think my wife would definitely be happy if I say, you know what, screw all this tonight. We're like, we're going to a restaurant. She would love that. I know she would.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, we have different experiences, but this can be taken into context for what you're going through, because it may start and at some kind of may start in the same direction. Like, this is fun. This feels awesome. This is new. This is exciting. Like, I love like seeing progression, but then it can like really slowly creep up on you as like, it's this or die. Like, this is what I'm doing. I have to do this. And like fearing the consequence of, what if I don't stay on this path perfectly tonight? What will happen? And then like sit in it and think about it and think, what really will happen if, okay, maybe if I have a glass of wine, then I'm going to, you know, feel a little bit weird tomorrow. And that's probably because you haven't had one in so long. Yeah. You know, so of course it's going to affect you.
It'd be cheaper to get drunk for the same effect.
For some people, like in my area, it's like, okay, you know, someone might eat a sandwich because they're so scared of a sandwich. And then, you know, the consequence might end up being they don't feel so hot. But that's not because the sandwich is bad. It's mostly because you just haven't had one in so long. So like, it's a very important thing to think about, because a lot of times if you have something you haven't had in a long time, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's why I stay away from it. That's why it's so bad, because it makes me feel this way. But it could just be because you know, you're a little more sensitive to it now. Doesn't mean it's bad. It just means you've been avoiding it for so long that your body is responding in a way that it wouldn't respond to if you had it, you know, a little bit more. So that's an opportunity cost. It's like, you know, have that good time, make that memory, enjoy a night where you just relax, but have compassion for yourself and be like, I am human. Like, this is a human experience. I am enjoying what, you know, something life has to offer to me, and I haven't enjoyed it in a while, but I'm going to be compassionate. I'm not going to feel guilt for, you know, indulging or experiencing life and just enjoying this moment. I'm not going to feel ashamed or guilty. I'm not going to feel like I'm a lazy person for taking this night to myself. I don't need to validate it to my social media followers. I can just do it enjoy it and not care what anyone else thinks and not even judge myself for it. Just have fun. And then the next day, it's a new day. You start over. You do what you want to do. You're intuitive about it. And that's how I want people to approach things. It's just, we're humans. Let's have human experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the other thing I worry about is, you know, not just for my own human experiences, my daughter's who's, you know, she's 17 months now. So she does whatever the hell we, you know, she has no concept of what she can or can't do really. But yeah, I'm sure we'll quickly get to the point that if I try and inflict my very rigid, you know, ideas about what's a, you know, a good thing to eat or a good exercise or movement or something else to perform or the right amount of sleep for her to get or the amount right amount of stress for her to be under, then that's going to backfire pretty badly on me, I suspect. And the more I try and, you know, strive for this stuff that I know has been so good for myself, that the less you want to do it. So, yeah, I think there's kind of what you're saying and what you're teaching people, like it has applications beyond, you know, just the idea of a recovering fitness model. So tell me, you know, how can people find out more? I know you've got a new book out. Why don't you tell us about that? Is that, does that cover some of what you've been talking about in more detail?
Yes, definitely. The Perfection Myth. It's a very quick read. It's only 62 pages. So it's really easy to get through just in a couple hours. But I definitely skim the surface of my fitness modeling days. And I do go in a lot on the topics of how I got out of it. So I'm actually working on another book right now that's called Confessions of a Fitness Model. So that one will go way more into detail about the crazy things that I did when I was getting ready for this level of leanness. But in The Perfection Myth, I focus a lot on my desire to be perfect, to look perfect, and how I was chasing after something that never existed in the first place, never will exist, and how I broke out of that mindset and really just started living the life that I intuitively wanted to live, which is what led me to where I am today. So I just released that, and you can get it on Amazon and other places you can find me. My website is maddymoon.com, and that's M-A-D-D-Y, Maddie Moon, M-O-O-N.com. And on there, I have lots of free resources. I'm all about giving out a lot of free content. So there's a book called 10 Proven Steps to Stop Any Diet Obsession. So if you're on the diet train, you don't know how to get off, that's a great starting point. And then, of course, my podcast, Mind Body Musings, and my Body Freedom Program. I would love to have anybody that's interested in ending your obsession with dieting and exercise and living a more intuitive lifestyle to check out Body Freedom. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
How does that work then? Is that a self-paced course, or do you spend time talking to you, or how does it work?
There are 4 modules, so it's 4 weeks long. It is self-paced, and you have access to it for a lifetime. But the first 4 weeks is when you have the email coaching with me, and you get emails from me every other day. And then if you have any questions or you want to talk about anything in particular about food fears or metabolism or exercise or finding balance, then in the first 4 weeks is when you can just pretty much lay it all out on the table with me, and then we'll hash it out together. But there are the 4 modules, and those are videos. And then each week you have anywhere from 1 to 3 exercises to work on throughout the week, or worksheets and lots of resources and freebies and stuff that I give out to people. So, but it is self-paced. Like, you don't have to do it all in the first 4 weeks, since you do have access to it. And there's also a Facebook support group. So that's a really nice little place to make new friends going through the same stuff.
Cool. Well, I will, of course, link to all this in the show notes for this episode. So if you're listening to this in the car or something, you can always come back to the website and get these links. Well, thank you so much for your time, Maddie. This has been a rather enlightening conversation. And this podcast is really about, it has slightly self-interest, the kind of like not so honest motivations, in that, you know, I get to learn something from the guests. You know, it's not just all about the listeners. I'm not sure whether everyone has figured this out yet. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that, and thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Christopher. This has been a blast.
Okay, cheers then. Bye-bye.